Yeah.
Bread, that would have put me out.
Listen,
you're so funny. I serve
friendship bread. Oh, seriously,
y'all,
that's been.
We would get these little soggy bags. You'd come, soggy you'd go bag. Somewhere. You'd go somewhere, y'all. They don't know. These people don't know. You'd go to church or Bible study or a women's group or school soccer game. You could be anywhere. You weren't safe anywhere.
No.
And someone would come up with a Ziploc bag with some goo in the bottom and a card stapled to it.
Yes.
Found out. It was friendship bread. And like friendship, you have to feed them.
You have to share it.
You have to share it. Because it's basically a starter, y'all. And
it would make like 10 bags. You'd have to find 10 poor women.
You'd have to find. It was like, again, it was like the baking version of a chain letter.
Yes,
and you
that's just exactly right.
You're going to have bad luck for 10 years if you don't pass on your friendship bread.
You're not my friend if you hand me
I know.
That.
I'm like, you and I are done. We're done.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Morning, Lassie.
Actually,
I learned in Ireland that top of the morning is not an Irish thing at all.
What? That's fake news. That's a lie.
No, it's not, because I finally asked my tour. I mean, I was waiting, you know, for somebody to say top of the morning to you. Nobody said it. And I finally asked my tour director about it. I said, well, I've been waiting for somebody to say this. And she said, she shook her head, and finally she said, that's American. She said, it's not a thing in Ireland.
What?
Yep, nope.
Well, that's very distressing.
Now, did some Irish people in America start it? Maybe, but
it's,
don't
not,
say no here.
It's not from the old country.
Not from the old country.
Okay, well, great.
Are you still in Louisiana? You look like you're in a hotel.
We're in the Airbnb.
Okay.
The Airbnb, and you should see my setup. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 176 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. And yes, as Joni was just saying, I am coming to you live from New Iberia, Louisiana, way down here on the bayou.
I knew I did not recognize the room.
Yeah, she's like, where are you? You're in a hotel.
Yeah. Have you gotten in the water yet?
The kids are on a boat right now, so you can all be praying.
Okay.
They're out there with their Uncle John. And, excuse me. So you can be praying. We already got Hudson and Joey have already gone out this morning to fish and caught some fish. They caught some sockeye, which is crappie for those of you down here. It's sockeye. And already got pictures. Joey sent a picture of him holding a little baby alligator.
Oh,
and I mean, this ain't from some alligator petting zoo. I don't know. No. Is there an alligator petting
zoo?
There could be down here.
Who knows?
There could be an alligator petting zoo.
If there is one, the Mahonies probably have it.
They probably have it. Anything's a petting zoo down here. The Mahonies are wonderful. My husband's cousins all live down here. And so we are down for a good visit and mainly for our wonderful cousin Connor. He got married to a wonderful, beautiful girl, Marissa, on Saturday. And they are just the cutest things you've ever seen.
Oh.
Just smiling in love. Two precious, precious peanuts. So we're down here for that. And then we're just playing. All the kids are here. And yeah, I got a picture of the gator because they went out in the boat to a different area with John this morning to fish. There's different areas. And to see all the cypress trees. And so they reached down with the net and got a baby gator out the water and just held it and then sent it back to its mama.
Well, okay.
I mean, right?
you never know what you're going to get.
You never know. You guys, I can't tell you. We ended up with, years and years ago, we ended up with two aquatic turtles in a tank as pets for probably almost a decade, for years and years and years, because some of them Bohonies were up here, came to Missouri, and anytime, particularly the youngest of the cousins, but really the younger two cousins, anytime they're up, they want to get outside, they want to get on the water, they want to get in a boat, they want to go float, they want to go, you know, whatever. And Missouri is certainly a, especially down towards Rolla and all that, it's the perfect area to do it. And so they'd get out there and they'd come back and with all these turtles. So they just scooped up these turtles and they had these turtles. They were actually really cute. They were the little swimmy kind. So they just lived in a tank and they were so cute. But you never know when the Mahonies come or you go, someone's going to end up with another critter.
Yeah.
What if I come home with a gator?
You should. That little baby gator's going to come home put in a tank.
I feel like that's illegal. I feel like that's pretty illegal. I'm just saying. Release it into the sewers of St. Louis.
There you go. There you go. I mean, urban legend right there for you.
That's right. We got to, oh my gosh, John Garrett, you scare me. Go away. We're recording.
Gertie's home.
Gertie. Hey.
He just came home for spring break.
Oh, nice. So anyway, we are having a grand old time. We've eaten, let's see, so far, I don't know. We've had po' boys, we've had etouffee, we've had gumbo, we've had boudin balls, and a crawfish boil yesterday.
I was going to ask, did Tim get his crawfish?
Oh, did he ever?
Oh, good.
He put, they put the heart on those crawfish. Let me tell you, and for those of you who have not experienced, I mean, I know a lot of people have, but it's a culinary phenomenon. Because it's first of all, they do all the boiling in these big pots outside, of course, and they do the sides first. So we had, so you have a whole thing of sides cooked together, and they did potatoes, the corn on the cobs, excuse me, some onions, some whole things of garlic, sausage. You throw some sausage in there, carrots. They did carrots this time, which were really
okay,
good.
I've never had carrots in it, but I bet they were.
I hadn't either. And uh-huh. They were really good because they kind of get sweet when you cook them. And then that spice, mushrooms, they put mushrooms in there. Okay. Oh. So that's all the sides, and they get those cooked up, and then they pour those out into the cooler. See, everything just gets poured into a big cooler outside, mm-hmm. a big cooler. Right. And then they do the crawfish and season those up. We had two different levels of seasoning. Apparently one was like red alert and one was more normal. Anyway, and they do those and then they pour those into the coolers, not like with ice, just into the cooler to hold them, and they sit there. And I mean, they're such a beautiful, it's the weirdest thing, of course, because they do look like lobsters or bugs or whatever,
yes.
But they it's so pretty, that color, they turn that beautiful red.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you get you a big old plastic tray. They have all these plastic trays. You get you a big old tray, and there is a giant metal scoop, like bigger than an ice scoop, in the bucket, and you scoop your crawfish onto your tray.
Mud bugs.
Mm-hmm, yep. Your mud bugs. And you get your sides. You pick what you want out of that, and you sit down. And I'm telling you what, I didn't eat very much. I'm not a big crawfish. I'll admit, I sampled one or two, and I'm good. I had the sausage. I had all the sides. I was a happy girl. But those trays, those boys filled up. And Anthony, who is married to one of the cousins' daughters, wonderful Anthony, shout out to you, Anthony. He put the heart, that boy had to do at least three trays, mounded up scoops of these things and put those away.
Yeah.
And then he had to go lay down. He did go lay down. And his wife, Mallory, wonderful, sweet Mallory, was so hilarious because she came in before into the kitchen and we were just drinking coffee and they were cooking outside. And she was like, Mom, she's like, where's the Benadryl? And she's married and got kids. She lives next door. They live, it's like a whole little compound. It's so cute. She lives next door. She's like, where's the Benadryl? And She said, well, it's over at Connor's house. The guy who just got married, by the way, they came over that next day. They're not honeymooning till later. So they're over. I mean, it's a whole hootenanny. And she's like, well, I can't just walk in over there. And we're like, no, you can't anymore. No,
you know.
Mm-mm. So she's like, I can't do that. So they had Connor bring. Anyway, she's like, where's the Benadryl? And I'm like, why do you need Benadryl? You got allergies? She said, well, I'm allergic to shellfish, but it ain't going to stop me. So she drugged herself up so she could eat her crawfish. And then she had to go. She took like a 3-hour nap because she, because of the Benadryl. But she's going around going, where are my bennies? Where are my bennies? Anyway, so it's taken very seriously. You know, if you have to medicate, so be it. Yeah.
So, you know, I did not know, being from Tennessee, I mean, the Louisiana culture is not a huge thing up here, right? But the further south you get, you start acquiring all these things. So crawfish boils at Mississippi State were huge.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah. So, well, mainly, and two, you have the coastal influence coming up.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you've got people going south and people coming north. And so, I mean, that is where I really started getting into like Mardi Gras and, you know, all of the stuff and all the crawfish boils. But yeah, it was a huge, huge deal at State.
That's fun. Yeah. That's a really fun thing to do with a bunch of college kids. Again, and it was so, you know, I said to the kids, I was like, isn't it great just having a day where you can just at any time you want, walk over, open a giant cooler, pick out some carrots and a tater and, you know, just like all day, there's just the food in the cooler and you just went and got what you wanted and visited some more. And it was a hoot. It was a wonderful time.
So the burnt church equivalent of that is the whole pig on the giant grill.
Right. Smoking a pig.
Yep.
Okay.
And again, you've got all your sides, the same thing, kind of in a cooler or a trough there or something. And, you just go get it and you just walk up to the pig carcass and just pull off your meat that you want.
Yeah. Pick off some pig that you want.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, you have to wonder, and it's so good. Like the pig, I mean, that's some good meat, but it's like, I think someone, we were talking about the weird foods and stuff and, you know, you're like, again, of course, who thought of, you know, you always think of that first person that thought, I'm going to try to eat this, you know, and not a pig necessarily, but like, especially like the crawfish and stuff like that. Cause it's, you know, there's not a lot of meat. I mean, that's why they eat 50,000 of them. Cause it's a little bite, you know?
Yeah.
And, but someone was saying the other day, they're like, well, you know, the definition of a Cajun food or a Cajun is someone who will eat anything that lives or comes out of a ditch.
Yeah.
Like a drainage.
Right.
And
I'm like, exactly right.
That doesn't sound very nice.
Yeah. But you know, lobster is one. I mean, who looked at a lobster and said, I'll eat that, especially because, you know, you have to kill them instantly or they release a toxin. Well, you know, the first couple of people who ate them,
that they were dead.
That they did not kill them instantly.
They probably didn't. You know? They didn't know to drop them in the pot.
They didn't know. Yeah.
No, they probably just ate them raw. I mean, killed them. And I don't know. I don't want to think about that because that's a lot of desperation. And I mean, they're delicious, obviously. And then people love the crawfish and people love lobster and it's good, but they just look like these crazy aliens. There's antenna. Yes. There's things all over.
Crabs and clams. You know,
you had to really, now again, makes total sense because people living near coasts, that's a whole abundance. I mean, you know, that's the entire ocean. You're not going to, you know.
But even fruits. I mean, who looks at a kiwi and thinks, I bet that big hairy thing is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the first person, and I can see sometimes they crack open and stuff, but, you know, but still a kiwi, even on the inside, does not look like something I would go, ooh, I bet this.
Yeah. Or those weird prickly things or like scaly. Yeah. There's like, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. We want to thank our ancestors for getting all that figured out for us so we can just dump them in a pot.
There are some, you know, over in some foreign countries, they do eat some things that I will not find appetizing or even think that I want to try. So,
yeah. Yeah. that same. And that's, yeah. I don't do slimy. I don't do mollusks of any kind. I really not. I used to do clams. Like I would do a fried clam.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that that hardly counts. But yeah, I don't do any mollusks or tentacles or there's so many other things I can eat. I'm good.
Yes.
I'll go eat the pig. That's the other thing though, that I, similar to like the crawfish boil or the pig roast or, you know, smoke the pig and the, or the oyster roasts on the beach. I've never done. Yeah. And again, I don't like oysters, but where they bare or the clam. No, I'm sorry. It's a clam bake.
Yeah. Clam bake. Yeah.
And they steam them all underground or something in the sand. And that's kind of another one of those like interesting food, you know, and everyone just come and I'm sure there's just sides and hot sauce and whatever you want. Yeah. So that'd be fun to go to.
Pig in the ground.
yes, but needless to say, we are having a great time. We just had a great visit. We're just visiting and I mean, I can't even, we've gone out to eat, you know, once or so, and we got some more plans this week. So we are just doing great. You can see my blanket. Do you see my blanket on my bed there? I brought my little Minky. Yeah. I was a passenger princess in the car with my fur blanket.
Okay.
And Sherlock was so happy. He's so happy at night because he has his little blanket.
Because he gets to climb in. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is going on with you? What's happening in Savannah? What's going on at the high school?
And I am stressed out.
Oh, no, honey.
Well, and I need to say this. I think we're going to cancel podcasts next week.
Okay. What you got?
We are going to Skills in Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We leave Sunday. And I'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. We need to. Yes. Yes.
So, and I don't know that I'll have when I'm not with kids and
you'll have responsibilities that are out of your control a little bit there. So, okay.
Or you can get Timmy to fill in for me.
Oh my gosh. Why would you say that? No, we'll have a designer cornbread bed spring break next week. Okay.
All right. And so anyway, March, you remember how busy October is for me?
Mm-hmm.
March is spring October.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, you know, and everybody just thinks that this all magically happens. And so there's just last minute this or last minute that, and I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And then meanwhile, I'm also getting ready for Skills, trying to get these kids, you know, practiced. And do you have these clothes? Do you have that? Is the hotel reserved? Is the you know, this, that, and the other? And do you know what you're doing? Do we need to, you know, go buy stuff and practice.
Yeah.
In the midst of this, regular school is going on. And so we have to give the ACT tomorrow. Hmm. Yay. I hate doing that. That's not my favorite day of the year at all. And then we had Read Across America last week in the library.
Oh, that's right.
So, and I had to do the cheerleading banquet Thursday night. So it was just, it's just constant stuff. So once I get through Skills, things will calm down a little bit. I'm hoping we come back and that, listen, I love doing this. And because we have spring break, it starts the 27th. So that will fall like on Good Friday. I mean, that's our spring break.
Okay, nice.
So normally what we do, and we're having to push it up a week because we won't be there. But we, for our egg lab, we do an egg thing, you know, egg lesson. And for our egg lab, we dye Easter eggs. And we go out on the football field and we hide them for the special ed kids. And then my students go and help them find them.
So and it's fun. I would adore to do that.
And so that's fun. So we'll get back and we'll do that. And do our regular Wednesday night meal and kind of a deep clean kitchen shutdown before spring break. And then I will have a week off. Kind of.
You're going to be fine. You're not going to get sick either.
No. Well, I have a bunch of people coming to my house for Easter. It's not really holiday or not really holiday. Mm-hmm.
Don't let your body know it's a break. Yeah.
No.
Just be like, we're just doing stuff at home. We're not, it's not a break.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's it. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the busyness of the year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, high school is once we get, so prom is April 25th. After spring break, kids kind of start shutting down. After prom, they are done.
They're done. I mean, the car's done. In the garage.
They're done.
Yeah, bless them. I remember.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's senioritis. I mean, it's a real thing. Think about it. Right now, I mean, after spring break, they could just make zeros almost for the rest of the time, and they're still going to pass and graduate. And, you know, for the ones going to college, they've already been accepted.
They're already accepted.
They're accepted. They know who their roommate is. Most of them, you know, scholarships have been turned in. They've mm-hmm. done all that work, and everything's kind of done. You know, it's just now you're just filling the seat. If they're going to the workplace, if they're just graduating and going to the workplace, most of them already have jobs, or they know where they're going to go. And again, they're just filling that seat until they can walk across the stage and then start earning a paycheck.
Yeah, just doing all those last things, you know, last games and last proms and that's fun though. That's kind of they need that. I know it's hard as teacher, you know, but it's kind of like, I've been in school 12 years, like a long time.
I save, like we do, I have different labs and I kind of save those labs for the end of April and 1st of May. Like we have a beef and poultry lesson. Well, then mm-hmm. for our lab, we go outside and we grill and sit outside at the picnic tables.
And what about the milkshake? What about the dairy, the milkshake lab?
And we have a dairy lesson and then we have milkshake lab. And that really I do as a reward day for them mm-hmm. because they have busted their tail all semester. I mean, we're feeding, you know, nearly 100 people every week and they have busted tail mm-hmm. doing all this. So that milk, that dairy lab is just kind of a reward day of, okay, we're going to do milkshakes. And again, we're going to go sit out in the sunshine. That's mm-hmm. finally come back into the world. And, I just try to do fun things from the end of April on out.
That's so awesome. That's it. That's mm-hmm. as it should be. And they're still learning.
They are. You know,
it's important to learn how to grill.
It
and
is.
Make a milkshake.
Yes.
Those are actual skills that, unlike some others that I will not name, that you might actually use in your life. Algebra. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Miss Dottie.
Yeah. Never used it. No.
I know.
You know, so I don't know. I will tell you, if you have kids in high school, just cut them some slack. It's the end of the days and they are.
Yeah. And that's a really good point too. Cause like, maybe it's time to start, encouraging parents, because some of you, and it's different for every kid, this is not across the board, but some of you may already be noticing this or may be about to, as the summer kind of comes on here and goes on, that your kids can kind of, I don't know, they all respond differently, but they can kind of start to get, what's the word I'm looking for, Joni? Just irritable and unpleasant. I mean, like a little unpleasant.
Here's what happens, especially if you have a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. They are in between being an adult and being a child.
Yeah.
And they have a lot going on. I mean, they're ready to leave. They are ready to spread their wings and fly, but they're standing on the edge of the nest mm-hmm. and it's scary.
It's scary.
A long way down out of that tree.
That's exactly right. No, then you've hit it. That's a perfect analogy.
And you have, the parents on the same time. Their kids are starting to drive them crazy because they're like that and they're ready for them to go.
Yeah.
And then they want to hold on to them with everything they've got. Yeah.
It's a weird time.
You have this interesting tug of war that goes on and mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it just gets crazy. So, and the kids, you know, and kids think they are more grown than you think they are. Mm-hmm. It is important to start giving them a little more responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's important to give them a little more trust that's going on. Because here's the thing, once they graduate and go to college, you know, in 2 months, you're not going to know where they are anyway.
Yep.
You're not going
to
know.
They're not going to have to report into you. You're not waiting up to see when they come in. It's all,
yeah.
They can now, do really what they want.
This is the time, and I'm not saying to harp on it or to, you know, make it so it's so uncomfortable that they don't listen to you, but you do need to start, you know, talking to your girls about, don't leave your open drink container.
Yeah.
Don't leave a cup, you know, sitting there and walk off and come back.
Yeah.
And to start, because I mean, Holly, I was so sheltered. I mean, I was so naive about things.
Yeah.
Just because that's not the life that we led, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different world, and tracking devices. There was a story just out that I just read in the Tennessean that a kid, it was a boy, he'd been at the aquarium in Chattanooga, and they got in the car and he went, "What is this?" And he reached in his pocket and there was one of the AirPod things.
Really?
You know, somebody slid in his pocket.
What?
Yes. Yeah. And it is, you know, your girls need to check their purses. They need to check bags. I mean, especially if they're, you know, got an easy open access that somebody can just flick one in.
Yeah.
It is time to, you know, and kids, that's never going to happen to them. But sometimes the things you say does stick.
Yeah.
You
know? Sometimes in the moment, it'll come back into their head. Yeah. Oh, and or they'll get out there on their own and they'll hear a story of something happening, and it will strike them different because they'll be like, "Oh, that's what my mom was saying." And I didn't know.
And don't scare them to death. I mean, that's not, you know, they need to live life, enjoy life.
Yes.
It is not, look, you're always going to worry as a parent, but you know, there are things that you can't control, and that's, you just pray a lot.
That's the trust. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But, you know, but there are things that they need to know.
Yeah.
They need to, maybe you didn't necessarily talk to them about when they were younger, but it's time to start having those conversations.
It really is. Cause I mean, if for no other reason, again, phones make this easier for parents to get in touch and track and all that. But, you know, it's different than when they lived at home, where at least you would be like, if I didn't see them for 2 days, I would know to, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, reasonably if they're, you know, at someone's house or, you know, they haven't come home, you know, the next morning, you would know to go, oh, but when they're away, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to tell you. And even you think too, this is another, we're not trying to be doom and gloom, but you think, oh, their roommate would know. Their roommate would say something. Their roommate would. They don't always.
Yeah.
They don't. A, they don't either know each other that way, or B, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, she didn't come home. Like, she must be at so-and-so's house or some just don't. I mean, I've literally heard stories of people were like, their roommate, and they did not even bother, was gone for days. And this, I mean, again, not to be scary, but this girl ended up dead. And they're like, why didn't the roommate report her? And she's like, I just didn't. I don't really like, you know, weren't friends. They weren't good, you know, so they just didn't. She thought she just was living with so-and-so now and never even bothered to check.
Yeah. that's, you know, it's normal behavior for them to go and spend the night wherever and not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not to, I mean, this all, sorry to be so scared, but you know, y'all know if you're raising kids, you know, again, y'all have been in this current world situation more than we were back when the kids were little. So,
and graduation trips coming up, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody here, I mean, we call the, you know, the panhandle, the redneck Riviera, because it is, everybody in Hardin County suddenly is at the beach. It's at Panama City. It's the thing, you know, talk to them when they go to the beach. Again, you need to let them go. They got to grow up.
Yeah.
That freedom you need to, but just talk to, you know, those boys really are not interested in going out at night and looking at the stars. That's not why they want to walk on the beach with you.
What, Joni? What?
No, it's just, they need to know these things now.
I want to show you that constellation. That's not what they're talking about.
They are not talking about that constellation now. You know, so
some are. We're sorry, boys. Some of you are sweet, sweet boys.
Again, look, Ron and I took kids. We would go on these educational trips, and we went to Greece. We went to Ireland, and it was so good. It's so good for these kids to travel without their parents. I mean, it's a great deal of maturity happens. You know, there's one, they're seeing the world too, but they need to know how to maneuver without you. So for whatever it's worth, but they do need to be informed.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's all very, it's time. Yeah, that's really good. This is actually a really good timing because as things start to pile up, you know, here it is March. So you've really got a good amount of months. And like you said, they're kind of winding down stuff. So, but they're not in that maybe full-fledged getting ready to leave home, gathering of the stuff, you know, that kind of intense getting ready, physical getting ready time. So this is a really good time to do those kinds of things, have those talks. You know, along with this, we've mentioned it before, get the medical. If they're 18, they're fixing to be 18, you got to go get them to sign the documents for their doctors and their dentists and everybody that says you, you know, are allowed to see their chart, you know, get their medical information. Because as soon as they turn 18, you can't. Yeah. And I know everyone knows that, but it's a good thing to, you forget there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. You know, you're getting ready for all this. And especially if your kid's kind of turning late like this, and it's just like they all of a sudden they turn and you're just like, ah, they're out the door and they're gone. And you're like, oh, they call you from school and they need blah, blah, medical. And they're like, sorry, can't tell you. And you're like, So yeah, good things to get done. Lots of good times ahead though. But yes, give them, cut them some, things can get weird. They can get moody. Exactly for what Joni said, because they're wanting to go, they're excited, and, you know, even if, like you said, even to the job, all the things, like the new things that are coming up are exciting, and also, like, you know, a little the unknown always causes a little bit of anxiety, and then moms too and parents are trying to, like, hang on, and, you know, and I know moms can be very like, we love them and we want to do all these things, and every kid's different. Some kids are going to not go through this at all and it's no big deal, but, you know, wanting to kind of pack and do this and do that, and the kids are resisting and putting off, and man, it can drive you crazy.
And right now, I will say right now, there's a lot of pressure on them as seniors. I mean, if we have semester classes, but if they have like their English, their senior English, I mean, they're getting research papers that have to be done and ready, and there's a lot of work that goes into that. Mm-hmm. They're getting scholarship applications. They're having to do all this. They've got to write essays and get references. And I mean, it's constant with, you know, however many scholarships you're applying for, because there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure with wrapping these in things up. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. But it's such a fun, you know, I think we're just sort of reminiscing a little about it, and also just, for Joni, seeing, you know, you're in that constant cycle of that, seeing that even you're a senior sponsor this year, so maybe even a little more up close, but seeing that constant cycle every year of this time, and it's, you know, such a good time, such a fun time, and you're so proud as a parent and all that kind of good stuff. So enjoy and hang on.
Hang on. Right. Enjoy the ride.
Hang on, Gertrude.
Put on your life jacket.
Oh my goodness. Well, what did you, we didn't talk about this the other day, and I didn't know if you had decided, did you do anything particular for Lent this year? Did you think, do any, add anything, give anything up? What did you do, anything like that?
I'm doing a devotional that is outstanding. It's by Tozier. I'm trying to remember, 40 days to the grave or so. I can't remember.
Okay.
Name of it. It may be one of my top threes, but it is so good. And Tozer, y'all, steps on your toes.
Tozer gets your toes.
He gets your yes.
Okay.
Tozer gets your toes. But you know, I had a preacher who used to say, if you don't want your toes stepped on, don't stick them out there.
Oh, keep your shoes on.
That's a good one. Add them out there.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's a really, one of the things today was how, you know, we always talk, yeah, die to self, die to self. We, you know, he said, do you really, really want to die to self? And you start thinking about that. I mean, you start thinking about, okay, what do I need to give up to really die to self?
Like,
you know,
what does that look like? What is that?
What does that look like? And I mean, you start going through that and I'm like, oh, maybe I don't really want to, you know, think I want to die to self, but.
Yeah, true. Cause that can mean a lot of things. That can mean things that are how you identify yourself, like who you think you are in the world. And yeah, that could be a lot of things.
Hmm. So it's, you know, it's a very, it's very, what's my word? Convicting, I guess is the right word with that. But anyway, so I'm doing that and I've really given up a lot of my phone, you know, just saying, because I mean, I may have a game or two on my phone. I'm not a big gamer, you know, but you know, there's times when, you know, I sit there, I'm waiting, you know, if you're waiting in a doctor's office, you're bored or, you know, whatever. And, I've given that up. And instead, when I'm reaching for my phone to play a game, I pray. Mm-hmm. I'm staying off of Facebook. I get on there to say happy birthday to people, because that was one kind of goal that I had at the year, is that I would keep up with birthdays.
Mm. Oh, nice.
But that's it. I'm trying to, I have to post stuff about school or different things like that. But overall, I'm trying to stay off of some of it.
Same. That's what I'm off Facebook and Instagram, and that's really all on my phone. I don't really do anything else on my phone, but and I don't miss it.
I don't miss it at all.
It's not been a struggle really at all.
No.
Which is so fascinating, because, you know, it's fun to scroll. I was scrolling. I do, like you said, I do designer cornbread stuff, and I do stuff for the booth, and I have to check marketplace for messages from people. But yeah, so if you tried to get a hold of me, or anyway, not that anybody cares, but yeah, I have no idea what's going on in the world. It's kind of great.
Right. Yeah. Ron talks about news stuff and I'm like, Ron, I've quit watching the news. And I know that we need to be informed on some stuff, but Holly, how do you know who's telling you the truth anymore?
Yeah, I know. And we do need, you know, the news is fine. Like there's a relative awareness of stuff, but most of the stuff on Facebook and Instagram, it's not news.
No.
It's a lot of not news. It's a lot of just, and again, whatever, but I was finding for myself that I was just like exactly what you said. It's when you're bored or just for a second, you're like, well, let me just check this. I'm sitting here. I finished, you know, eating lunch or doing whatever. And you want to rest, you know, like, it's good to have a break. It's good to stop doing stuff for a minute, but it's same thing as you. I'm just replacing it with other things. So the prayer thing for sure, because being Lent, you know, that's what the idea of giving up something for Lent, you know, whether it's the food or the fasting, it's so that you replace that with prayer. Contemplation, time with the Lord. That's the spiritual point of that. The added benefit are other things.
I will say this, when I've had things that, you know, when I've given up things for Lent, I mean, even, you know, when it's something food-wise, sugar or coffee or, you know, whatever.
Not coffee. Oh my God.
Listen, Ron Shank gave up coffee for Lent one year and I said, never.
Oh, never again. No, that's a drug of choice. We're not giving it
that
up.
That is. Okay. Well, that's punishing me.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say, you know, anyway, never again. So. Remind me, I have something else. So another Ron Shank story.
Okay, good.
And then times that I don't give stuff up, it's like all of a sudden I look up and it's Easter.
Yeah,
and
I've same.
Had no kind of
same
time of reflection or anything. So even when I give, I mean, even giving something up, it is that, it just feels like I'm closer to the Lord. It feels like I'm keeping in mind the whole Easter season, you know, the resurrection, sacrifice.
Yeah, it reminds us what season we're in, because it's even, you know, like you say at Christmas, you know, there's more of the busyness, but there's also a little more of the visual, reminders because we're decorating more. We kind of have a little more of that going on. There's a lot more special programs and music, and you know, there's a lot more around that. Whereas this is a quieter season, which I love.
Yes.
I mean, I love that. I don't have to decorate my whole house or do whatever. But you're right. It's easy to just, and especially also because Easter switches around.
Yes.
I never know when it's coming. Like Christmas is December 25th. We know that. So we have a very set routine with that. Whereas Easter, it's like, is that at spring break? Is it after? Is it in March? Is it in late April? Like we never know what the heck's going on with Easter. So I always feel confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good point. And I've, you know, along with the, just the spiritual part of the, you know, prayer, whatever you want to replace that phone time. I've also like made sure I have stuff with me. I have my Kindle.
Yeah.
I do, you know, and I'm not saying no screw. But I have my Kindle. I have my book. I have my real book. I have my hobby. You know, I have my things with me whenever I take anyone, if I have to wait anywhere, I will pull that out, you know, and that is replacement. And that's something I want to do. I want to read this book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't read as much as I want to. Well, part of that is because you're filling, you know, I'm filling my
space.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to think like reading, and it's, I kind of go back and forth on it. Cause you know, I tend to think like, okay, when you read a book, you got to sit down and like have an hour or so to read the book. You know, that's like when people go read, you know, I kind of think to really get into your, you know, to have, and sometimes that happens, but that's not the only way it can happen. Now I like it. I find it easier to read, nonfiction in shorter than like fiction. It's, you know, you want to kind of get into the
story.
Yeah. You're kind of keeping up with the story. It depends on the book, but I just thought, I just have my Kindle or something that at least I know, I've got my journal. I bought this new like 4-part kind of a commonplace notebook kind of thing. I think I talked about, I got the kids that for Chris anyway. And so I've got my little thing. So if I'm going to write that down or watch one of my coaching program things or you know, I've got other things that I want to do instead of just going on and seeing a bunch of algorithm presentations to me.
So I'm going to encourage everybody, I know we're what, 2 weeks into Lent now?
Yeah, but it's never too late.
I'd encourage you to go ahead and start something just because it does set you apart. Mm. I mean, it redoes your mindset, you know, and you don't look up and all of a sudden, oh, it's Easter, you know?
Yes.
It's not about the eggs and the bonnets and the, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to still have Easter bonnets.
Oh my gosh. I used to have little gloves and little shoes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring back gloves, Joni.
Easter bonnet. Yes. So anyway.
Yeah, that's cool. We hadn't really talked about it and I thought, oh, that'd be interesting just to, and again, you can give up something or you could add something. For sometimes it's a time to add, I guess it's not quite the same because again, the spiritual discipline of it is so that your mind would go to time with the Lord and prayer, replacing some of that with that meditation contemplation. But if you're adding, like you said, you're doing a devotional book, you know, adding in a reading list for Lent, like a scripture reading list, you know, you can get those online, you know, whatever you want to do that does fill that time with that as well. That's an addition that can be really fun to do. So yeah, I agree. I just don't like to look up and then it's like, boom, and then boom. And you're like, oh, okay. Cause this is pretty important. I mean, you know, being born is very important. And so is dying for our sins. So, and rising again. So, awesome. Okay. What's your other Ron story?
Well, you said here's the Ron Shank story. So Ron has been diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot have folic acid. Well, folic acid is in everything. The government at some point decided that pregnant women were not getting enough folic acid, so they just start putting it in all the bread and all the flour and all the rice. Now, everybody,
we can take a supplement.
Have to have, yes,
which is what we did when we were pregnant. You would take a supplement.
That's right. Yeah. So folic acid is a very difficult. Now I have to buy like organic flour. I have to do all this stuff. Well, we have a lady in our church who makes sourdough bread with the organic flour, and he's been buying bread from her. They have a little business, but it's like open from one to seven. Well, then he forgets to go buy the bread, and he, you know, it gets busy. So he asked Jenny for some sourdough starter.
Oh, Lord.
I know what he was thinking. He was thinking that I was going to do it for him.
Right. He was thinking, Joni will feed this starter and do all this.
Bull honky. Because here's the deal. I survived the friendship bread era. Never again.
We're still scarred.
I am scarred from the friendship bread era. And anyway, so he's like, what do I do? She said something about feeding it. What do I do? I was like, I don't know.
I don't know.
The one that got the starter and talked to her about it. And he's like, I don't know. It went for like 3 or 4 days without him feeding it. And I'm just like, whatever, I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, aren't I supposed to feed? I said, what did Jenny tell you to do? He said, she told me to watch some YouTube videos that everything would be on there, that I could, you know, all that information be on there.
Yeah.
Watch the YouTube videos. Well, I don't have time. I was like, I don't know, Ron. I have not done sourdough starter. I know you're just going to figure it out. Holly, I'm telling you. So he started feeding it. There was flour all over my counter.
Oh, Joni.
There were bits of dough stuck to my sink. And I stood there and I looked at it and I thought, I am not cleaning that up. I am not cleaning that up. He's going to do it.
Yep. How many days, Jones?
Well, it sat there for about 3 days.
Okay.
And I finally said enough and I cleaned it up. And I threw it away and I said, never again.
You threw the starter away? Yeah, I would have. That would have been gone. Be like, yeah. Bye.
Yeah, it's gone. So never again. I said, you have your calendar. You have it hour by hour planned out. This meeting. You are going to put on your calendar, you know, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whenever to go buy bread.
Yeah.
Because we're
right. Put it on. It's an appointment. And if you don't buy it, then you don't get bread. Like, that's the answer, because Joni can have bread.
I can have bread. I can have all the bread I want.
And you're not going to have the bread that's not good for you, because we're not dealing with you not feeling good. So you see, this is a whole marriage, 30-year marriages.
30-year. There's no, I'll do it for you, honey.
No. The fact that he brought that thing up in your house and thought you were going to feed a bread starter is just, he doesn't know who you are.
He never asked me to, but I know what he was thinking.
Oh, you know.
I know.
How do we do it? What do I do? I'm like, I don't. Yeah. Do you have a magic box in your hand?
That's right.
You can look up anything you want.
Yeah.
The bread, that would have put me out.
Listen.
You're so funny.
That friendship bread. Oh, seriously,
y'all,
that's been.
We would get these little soggy bags. You'd go somewhere, y'all. They don't know. These people don't know. You'd go to church or Bible study or a women's group. Or school, soccer game. You could be anywhere. You weren't safe anywhere.
No.
And someone would come up with a Ziploc bag with some goo in the bottom and a card stapled to it.
Yes.
Found out. It was friendship bread. And like friendship, you have to feed them.
You have to share it.
You have to share it. Because it's basically a starter, y'all. And
it would make like 10 bags. You'd have to find 10 poor women.
You'd have to find. It was like, again, it was like the baking version of a chain letter.
Yes, and you, that's just exactly right.
You're going to have bad luck for 10 years if you don't pass on your friendship bread.
You're not my friend if you hand me
that.
I
know. I'm like, you and I are done. We're done. You can tell Joni and I did real good back in the day, but oh, that brings back memories. I can literally remember holding a soggy bag of goo.
Yes. Yeah.
Thinking.
Like plaster of Paris.
Yes, like plaster paste. And you're like, okay, thank you. And a little card or a little notepaper with all the directions. And it was like pages long. It was just something else. Anyway.
All right.
So okay.
Speaking of, here we go. You ready for my recipe?
For your friendship bread starter recipe?
Friendship bread starter.
I'm ready.
We're going to do something better.
Oh, good.
Ready? Because it's still close to St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is.
All right. So what is St. Patrick's Day without a little Irish coffee?
Ooh,
okay.
Okay, we're ready.
So 4 ounces of fresh hot coffee. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1.5 ounces of Irish whiskey, mm-hmm. such as Jameson's.
Okay.
Half an ounce of simple syrup, or you can use like 2 teaspoons of sugar, and then fresh whipped cream for the garnish. Mm-hmm. Now, I did have an Irishman tell me that you have to hold the spoon over the coffee and you pour the whipped cream over the spoon.
Okay.
To the coffee.
Okay. So. That makes sense. It kind of flows in there nicely. Okay. Okay.
So that's, I guess I need to tell you how to do it.
Well, I mean, I just sort of assumed put the sugar.
You're going to combine your whiskey and syrup or sugar in the bottom. And it does need to be, if you've seen the Irish cups, you know,
yes, the clear glass. Yeah. The clear glass.
Irish
coffee cups, I think is what they are.
Irish mm-hmm. coffee cups. Mm-hmm. So you combine your whiskey and your syrup or sugar in the bottom of that clear glass or cup mug, and then you top it with coffee and you stir it up until it's all combined. And then I told you how to do the whipped cream. So
yes, you pour that in there.
And if you like it less sweet, like I don't really like a lot of sweet, you can half your syrup or sugar amount.
There you go. So there you go. Ooh. That sounds really good. I haven't had one of those in a million years. I'm not a big, like, I don't really love, like, a Bailey's and Kahlua very much. They're okay, but like, a straight Irish, like that, or straight amaretto in there, doing that, I would.
So, here's the deal with Irish food, I've decided. Okay. All you need is, like, some meat, potatoes, and Guinness.
Yeah, or whiskey, or Jameson's. That's about right. Is it my top three or is it yours?
Top three.
I think it's your top three.
I think it is too. I think it is too. I'm ready. I just, again, you know, when you're out of town, you have no, I was so worried I was going to even just totally forget to get on here today and record because, you know, people start making plans and schedules and you forget what day it is. So I'm very proud of myself that I'm here. Let's see. My top three. The first one is... the Thrive Cosmetics Instant Brow Fix Semi-Permanent Brow Gel. And it is just as you would think. It is a tinted brow gel. I got mine on Amazon. So it's that Thrive Cosmetics spelled C-A-U-S-E, Medics. I don't know. I think they have a whole bunch of makeup stuff. I don't know. I got this on Amazon. It's a little pricey. It's $32, you know, for a little tube, but obviously it lasts a long time. And I've used a lot of brow products and I don't like to, the things that I've tried in the past that are tinted and a gel are just like, they're just a lot. I don't know. They just don't work very well. So I end up just doing a little pencil and then a clear gel. If I need it, that's fine. But this is a tinted and it goes on really nicely. It really stays. It's smudge proof. It says semi-permanent. So I don't know if it's like dyeing my brows. I don't really know. Semi-permanent, doesn't that mean it's going to like wash out?
Yeah, later or little like by little.
Kind of little by little. I don't really know. So maybe it kind of really hangs in there. My brows are pretty dark right now because I use the beard gel to dye my brows, as you all know. But it's really good and I really like it. And it holds them and it goes on easy and it's just an easy thing. I have a lot of brows though, so I don't, you know, doesn't take me very long and I like that. They have a bunch of colors. The second thing is a little set, just a little 2-piece set that I got off of Amazon. It was like a short sleeve top and like wide leg, drawstring pants. They're probably gonna be all too long for you. I don't think they had any petites, but, you could hem them. It's a 2-piece ribbed knit set. And I was like $44. I brought it down here and I wore it the other day. I hadn't worn it before. And got several compliments. And Avery was like, that's cute. And it's comfy. She's like, you're basically wearing your pajamas. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I am. And but look, I mean, she's like, warm. And they're real cute. I'm like, put them on with my flip-floppers. You know, the shirt you can kind of tuck in the front. It's kind of long enough. But the sleeves are kind of like a cap sleeve. And it's ribbed. And it comes in all these colors. I love a set. Y'all, I love a set right now. So that's really cute and really comfy and soft and nice. And then the last thing is just sentimental, but it's just been really fun reminiscing and telling old family stories and being with, you know, we hadn't been down here for all of us hadn't been down here. I don't think any of us since after Gary passed, so January of 2014. Now we've seen some have come up and visited, and I think Susan had probably been down a few times after that for sure. But anyway, we'd seen him a few times, some of the people, but it's just nice. We hadn't been down, all of us, and the kids are, you know, just getting to, you know, family is, that's your family. And it's nice if you have some that you do love to see and you do love to visit. And I mean, again, Tim's youngest cousin.
And the Mahonies are a fun crew.
Yeah, I was like, Joni wants to be an adopted Mahoney.
I do.
They are a fun crew. They are characters. And the youngest cousin, Mark, whose son Connor got married, you know, he's the closest to Gary in terms of acting like Tim's dad. So it's just hilarious. And, but then we've had lots of visits with Tim's Aunt Patsy. So Gary's sister, Patsy, and we've visited her several times, and we'll get several more. We just wanted to have some good, long, you know, you sit down with the people and you just, she's told us stories. We've gotten some good ones. Tim had we were there a couple times, and he turned on his phone recorder and recorded her talking about a few stories and a recipe from Yugoslavia that someone made, you know, it's just really fun. It's a really rich time. So it's awesome. Yeah. So hopefully we'll, continue our good. It's been a little bit rainy, but it's pretty warm and nice, but we'll be down here a little while longer and then back to the homestead. I hope it's a little warmer in Missouri by the time we get back.
Oh no, it's kind of chilly here.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little worried.
Not bad, but
I'm a little worried. Anyway, it is what it is. So until now, so we're going to skip next week, you guys. Okay. So don't be worried. We're fine. Everything's good. But next week is officially Designer Cornbread spring break, wherever you are.
Skills.
Go get a spray tan. Go do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't help it. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. But until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
So my microphone is in my underwear drawer. I just need you to know that. I was like, where am I going to set up? And the mic couldn't be up here on the dresser. And so I pulled the chair in and I opened up my underwear drawer and it's sitting right there. All right. I got to go. My kids are back. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Bye.